The savings are scorching during the Red Hot Sale event at Omaha Steaks. Save 50% site-wide on legendary steaks, everyday essentials, and more. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOTSALE at omahasteaks.com. Shop now to save 50% site-wide on steaks and more during the Red Hot Sale event at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOTSALE at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code HOTSALE. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain-rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on pristine exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
The 2025 transfer window is now shut and the first international break is upon us. So what better thing to do than to discuss Arsenal's transfer window? This is the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. Thank you so much for being here. Something different today. If you're watching on YouTube, yes, there's my ugly mug that you're putting up with. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I thought I'll try something different because, as I said, it's a transfer window. It's an international break discussion wrap-up. No football until next weekend when Arsenal return to Premier League action against Forest. So it's time for something different. There's a few talking points here today. So what I'm going to try and do is break this down into our sales, our purchases, and our contract renewals and try and give an overall flavour of where Arsenal are poised now that the transfer window is shut. So firstly, thank you again, as always, for being here. If you're listening on audio, thank you so much. The video will accompany the YouTube segment that I will publish out. So look, let's just get straight into it. I hope everyone's okay from the loss a few days ago to Liverpool. I'm still smarting a little bit about it. It's just one of those what-if sort of moments. I think the game largely went as maybe not as planned, but I think what we were intending to do in terms of negating Liverpool and really challenging them in the duels, taking the match as deep as possible, trying to keep the match evenly shaped, and we bring on some attacking talent like we did, Eze and Odegaard. In that respect, it was working. It kind of did work. Just unfortunately, a moment of brilliance separated the teams. Sometimes it goes for us. If there was a worldie of a free kick, such as Declan Rice against Real Madrid, sometimes these things happen. And, you know, the end result sometimes dictates so much of the narrative, isn't it? You know, history is written by the victors, as they say. So the aftermath of it is strange. I just feel Arsenal are discussed and analysed differently than most others, and that's just something I think we're accustomed to. And it's not anything that's going to change anytime soon until Arsenal climb that mountain and win something, win a major trophy. There's just going to be those same narratives and same rhetoric that follow Arsenal that are closely shadowed anytime there's a loss, which, let's be honest, Arsenal don't lose many matches. You know, we draw a lot, and that's what undid us last season, but we don't lose many matches. But you know, there's the knives are out, the knives are sharpened, and they're ready. And we're in such a, I guess, a social media-driven world now where so much of the content is, because there's so much of it, it's so heavily saturated that players and commentators, they need to say something to stand out. It's almost self-promotion in a way. There's just so much that you can say that doesn't get clipped up. And that's a sensible, reasonable analysis, but that doesn't get the follows and the likes and the circulations that the more controversial takes do. That's just the reality, and it's sad. It is sad in a way. I'm showing my age a little bit. I'm 45, as you can probably tell from the grey hair. So at least I can compartmentalize a lot of that. I don't really do much of that. I don't sort of rage bait. I don't follow around these articles and leave comments, and I'm not really active on Twitter aside from having a profile there, and every now and then I circulate a podcast that I publish. But in that respect, I'm lucky. However, the reality is that there's the content, it's not in good faith. It's not, and it's driven to get a reaction, and quite often it's successful. So if you find yourselves swept up in that, I totally understand. I totally get it, because that's what it's designed to do. If you feel it's not serving you well to, you know, to if you need to put the phone down and just take a break from it, I welcome that. I think you should. I think look after yourselves, be mindful of the content you consume, because what we consume affects us in so many ways. It's not just about what we eat, for example, it's also what we feed our brain. And in that respect, if you're finding yourself struggling with the after effects and you don't feel good, look, I strongly recommend just take a break, put the phone away, and maybe someone like myself can add a little bit of value with, I'd like to think that I'm a bit more balanced and a bit more reasonable in my comments. So that was a long tangent. It's certainly not in my running notes. I was just going to touch on it briefly. But if you find yourselves in that camp, then I strongly recommend you please listen to what the signals are telling you and do what you need to do to look after yourself. And yeah, and if that means you want to subscribe to the channel, please do. If you would like to leave me a review and follow me on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, that will be certainly most welcome. So what I'll do is, I'll get to the transfer window wrap in a moment. I'll just round this off by in the aftermath of Arsenal's loss the other day, it also coincided a day or two after the transfer window closed, and we had our eighth signing, Piero Hincapié. Just incredible piece of business, so late in the window. I didn't anticipate this. In fact, that's a good segue now into my transfer window commentary. I thought that Arsenal had so much to do this summer, and we did. Maybe I'm a bit burnt by previous windows, and I always just felt that Arsenal we do what we need to do. However, we don't quite do enough, and we're too often just one or two key signings short that over the course of the season, it comes back to bite. But this summer window, I'm putting my hand up. I didn't think Arsenal were going to conduct ourselves the way we did. I didn't think we were going to sign eight players. To recap, for context, what that meant was, I knew the essentials were staring at us, right? We needed a second goalkeeper. We needed some stability finally in that position after so much chopping and change in the last few years. We needed minimum one, potentially two central midfielders, because we had some renewal in that area of the pitch, with Thomas Partey and Jorginho leaving the club. So we knew at minimum we needed one. We ended up signing two. We did need defensive cover. I know it's a bit of a running joke about Arteta and his defenders and especially left-backs, but the reality is you look at our squad. Kieran Tierney left last summer. He was cover. Zinchenko is really fallen out of framework for Arteta, unfortunately. And we saw the injuries derail us with everyone from Timber having to play so much of a workload because White was overplayed the previous season when Timber had an ACL injury. Gabriel, hamstring surgery. Saliba, late hamstring injury. Tomiyasu, unfortunately, not been able to get on the pitch. So we needed a defender. I didn't think we'd sign two. So we also needed that elusive wide forward attacking winger option. It's something Arteta and Arsenal have been chasing I'm going to say 3 years now, I think, to the best of my memory, when we went really hard for Rafinha at the time when he was at Leeds. He always wanted Barcelona, it seemed, and that's the dream move he got. But I referenced that because that's the side we've been wanting, that firepower back then. Arteta actually used that word. He's pointed in his comments. He said we need the firepower. So not only did we need a new centre forward, of course, Gyökeres, who ended up we selected, we also needed that wide forward, and I didn't think that if you stack these up, that's a lot of business to do. That's a lot. And Arsenal, as we know, and it's been covered at length, I don't need to go into it, but our inaction last year, last summer window, and then in January again, it left us with so, so much to do. I didn't think we'd do it. And credit to the club. Full credit to the club even a few months ago in appointing Andrea Berta. That's not something that's usually synonymous with Arsenal. That's a really big boy move. That's like a big boy in town, an institutional move that signals intent and ambition, and it's saying from the ownership down that no, we're in this. We recognise our mistakes, and we need that big boy in town now. We need someone to come in who's experienced, has the spread of contacts, has the relationships with agents, intermediaries, advisors, and can just get this done. full credit to him, right? Absolute full credit to him on the purchases and the way we've been savvy enough to swing these deals. It's outstanding. Of course, I will get to it in a few minutes. There's still that challenge of being able to generate fees with sales and how much it can just help offset our spending and transform Arsenal's financial position. That's not something that Andrea Berta is going to be able to do. He's only been at the club a few months. And yeah, that's just an ongoing challenge. So let's get into the purchases. So the eight players, of course, Martin Zubimendi, Eberechi Eze, what a signing. Oh, I'm so excited that he came as well. Victor Gyökeres, Noni Madueke, Christian Mosquera, Christian Norgard, Kepa, a second goalkeeper, and Piero Hincapié late in the window. So eight signings. It depends how the figures are reported, of course. Some figures that are touted, they're all inclusive, including the add-ons and the bonus packages. So look, I'll just use high-level figures. This is based on what's been reported. Zubimendi, around £63 million. Eze, 67.5. Gyökeres, about 61, again, depending who you believe. I'll just go with that figure for now. Madueke, 52. Mosquera, 17. Norgard, 11 million. Kepa, 5 million. Release clause, outstanding piece of business, by the way. And Piero Hincapié is structured slightly different. I believe we're paying a loan fee with the full intention of turning that permanent next season. So it'll enter next season's books. It works for Leverkusen, works for Arsenal. Similar to the David Raya deal a few seasons ago. It's just that kind of thing where if a club has booked and committed a lot of financial commitments in the 1 year, you can make an arrangement with them to then, it's essentially a loan that's going to be turned permanent. I think everyone knew that David Raya is not going to return to Brentford. And similar here with Hincapié. I think the intention is that either they can trigger it permanent or we can. However, from an accounting period for PSR purposes and our financial position, it just suits all parties to have it booked next year, especially Leverkusen too. They've sold a massive amount this summer, so it probably suits them as well to have a sizable transaction like that just go into next year's book. So excellent arrangement that suits all parties. And eight signings. If I was to give this a ranking or a scorecard, if you want to give it a ranking out of 10, for me, it's as close to a 10 as possible. A 9.5, a 9.75, it's incredible. Because look at Arsenal's squad now, from back to front. We didn't leave the gaps that we historically do. We have filled it all the way from the back to the front. And speaking of the back, I just want to note just the importance of just having a stable goalkeeping squad now, a position. Because so often, like Arteta and his goalkeepers, I know that topic as well has been done so much, but it's got to stop. It just has to stop. I mean, we've had so much turnover in that position, and loans such as Matt Ryan was a few years ago for 6 months. We've had Runarsson come and go. Matt Turner, it was just a very odd stylistic choice because he's not a ball-playing keeper. He's more of a classical shot stopper. And it's just every now and then, just you look back in some certain transactions, you think like, what was the rationale? What was the thinking? Wasn't quite aligned to the style of football that Arteta wanted. And of course, then most recently, the Ramsdale saga. Neto last season, a loan deal that just really shouldn't have happened. And I think it spoke to a very disjointed approach. I think there was some relationship breakdowns as well internally at Arsenal with Edu, Arteta, and the club going in different directions. So it's these things cost in different ways, and unfortunately, over time, we've borne the brunt of that. So I think Arsenal collectively just said enough of that. Kepa's been signed for £5 million. Name me a better backup goalkeeper or number two goalkeeper, if you want to call it that. It's probably doing him a disservice because he's genuinely a number one caliber keeper. However, he signed for 3 years. We've got three seasons now of just that position. It's just done. It's just locked down. It's locked in. Spanish national as well, has an excellent relationship with Arteta, Iñaki Cano, and David Raya. And we've just got it done. And hopefully we just don't have to talk about it too much more. And I feel confident. Something happened to Raya that Kepa can step in and he knows the level. Unlike, again, I'm not trying to dig anyone out, but remember that match Neto played last season. He tried to save that ball that was well outside his box, and we were millimeters away from another red card. A match and yet another match playing with 10 men. And we all know that we've got some trauma with that as well. We don't need more of it. And when that happened, it spoke volumes that we need Raya fit. We cannot rely upon our alternative. And just look, I probably spent more time on this than I intended to, but I'm just trying to hammer the point home. How good is it to have stability? We just got it done all the way from the back to the front then. So Hincapié is versatile. So it's closely linked to the Jakub Kiwior move, which I'll come to in a few minutes when I discuss the sales. But clearly it looks like it's an upgrade. I mean, it's a pretty sizable financial difference too in terms of what we sold, what we are looking to package Kiwior for when that becomes permanent next season to what we've acquired Hincapié for. However, the rationale is that he gives us width. He's a genuine left back option too. Can play left side of as a center half, so he can cover for Gabby.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Gabriel, Soap and Calafiore, of course, but we know, touch wood, so far all has been fine with Calafiore at the start of this season, but we know that there is there's the potential of him getting injured, especially now on international duty. That always gives me that always spooks me when you see so many Arsenal players go to international duty. So we're hoping for a clean bill of health. However, we've acquired options to cover. So Hincapié is another one. He's comfortable on both sides from what I've seen and read. I'm certainly not pretending to be an expert, but the rationale that's been put forward, I totally get. I get the logic. And Mosquera, another one similar in that Tomiyasu style profile. He can play right back. He deputized there and looked fine in one of the early Premier League matches. He barely even noticed him. He was seamless. And that's outstanding. That's the kind of versatility that we know Arteta craves. And for someone just to step in, and he stepped into Anfield within 4 or 5 minutes, that wouldn't have been on anyone's radar. But it shows the mentality. It shows it's testament to preparation that you just need to be ready because you just don't know what's going to happen. And Mosquera, he stepped in and he did not look out of place at all on that pitch. And full credit to him. I think we've acquired an excellent signing there. Can help protect Saliba. Coverage for Ben White and Timbo, who have both had in their own ways significant workload the last season or two. And we can no longer, what's the word I'm looking for? We no longer just have to, by default, use them, despite them being, you know, jabbed up on painkillers or managed through the week and managed through training. We don't have to anymore. We have the option. And these are players at the level, at the caliber too. So outstanding work by the club to acquire those players. Midfield, Norgaard, who unfortunately, I don't think he's even been on the bench so far. I believe he's got a niggle. I don't know the severity or the length of time he's out for, but he's largely in that Jorginho mould that he may not be here to play a large volume of minutes, but he's that experienced head within the squad and can step in and do the job if need be to support Zubimendi. If we're in a position where we need to bring off Zubimendi and we don't want to drop Rice back, for example, we've got Norgaard there. Unfortunately, we haven't seen it yet, but over the course of the season, especially when Champions League starts and the matches come thick and fast, cup matches, hopefully he's fit for that Port Vale match in the League Cup. We'll get a first look at him. But it's just an excellent senior member of the team to have ready on deck. Norgaard, Zubimendi, of course, we've spoken about at length, and it's a bit of a shame because we all knew it was happening for so, so long that when he finally got announced, it was just like, okay, yeah, I knew that, but like, what next? Who are we signing? Where's our centre forward? So it's just one of those quirks of the online world we live in, where there's just so much information being bombarded and so much advance notice that the calibre of the signing can just be a little bit overlooked as well. And I think Zubimendi's excellent. He did struggle towards the end against Liverpool. And look, I know I'm trying to move beyond the commenting too much on that match. I've already covered that in previous recording and at the start of this podcast. Just we should have made the change sooner. I feel just the match drifted a bit in the second half, and that's just that what if I've got in my head. What if we moved, if we took the sub earlier, we put on Ethan, for example, drop Rice back. I know he brought on Dowman later on, but that was more of a roll of the dice more than anything. But yeah, it was just, look, Zubimendi, he will get up to speed. His first match at Anfield, his first professional season in England. So there's an adaptation period for everyone, no matter how good you are. So it's just going to take time for him. Madueke, I think the more I see of him, the better the signing gets. He's good. He was arguably our best player against Liverpool. Alongside Calafiori, he had the most shots on goal. And not too long ago, if Bukayo Saka is out, and as disappointing as that is and how much of a blow that is for Arsenal, Madueke to step in, that's so comforting for us, so comforting for Arsenal, because he's good. He looked excellent on the right. Yes, he's not at Bukayo Saka's level, but then who is? Probably the only one in the Premier League who you'd take ahead of Saka is Mohamed Salah. Saka is that good, and it's that much of a blow to Arsenal, and it's just continually frustrating that we're going into these big matches and we didn't have Saliba on the pitch for 70 minutes. We didn't have, until Odegaard came on, we played that match without Havertz, Saliba, Bukayo Saka, Odegaard. It's a shame because, you know, on paper, we're outstanding. We have world-class talent across the board. We have options. We have depth. It only takes you so far, though, until you can consistently get your best players out on the pitch in the biggest moments, in the biggest matches. It's just it's a source of frustration, especially the early season injuries so far. And I'm hoping that we can just manage through, get them back, especially towards Christmas time. Hopefully Saka and Havertz are back by then. And we can just have a touch wood, have a much cleaner bill of health, and a little bit of luck our way would be most welcome too. For now though, Madueke, look, he should be a starting player now. I feel he's gone ahead of Martinelli, he's gone ahead of Trossard. I'd like to see Ezra as well come in and start in the next match against Forest, and I believe he will on the left, and it's a good time now to touch on Eberechi Ezra as well. Like, just the circumstances around that deal is such a beautiful story. I know it's been covered at length, and I'm hoping, like me, you have watched so much of the Ezra content. The Ian Wright interview is just beautiful. And like, what a unique story for him. He's living his dream, and it's wonderful. And I'm hoping he starts now, because he looked lively again against Liverpool. Small sample size, 20-odd minutes, I know. And he should have taken that shot. I'll stop lamenting that Liverpool loss now. I'll stick to the topic at hand. Ezra is an outstanding signing, transformative, just a dynamic, attack-minded, beautiful football with the ball at his feet, makes things happen. And I'm just so, so grateful we got him. And I'm so, so looking forward to him starting, because with him on the left, Madueke on the right, Victor Gyökeres as well in the middle, we've got some unpredictability here now as well. So often other teams have just known what we're going to do before we even do it. And we are a bit too easily, a bit too predictable to negate and set up against, with the low blocks, the banks of 4 and 5 and 5, and the horseshoe of death. And you don't need me to remind you, or you all know what I'm referring to. We've got some unpredictability now with Ezra, with Gyökeres, with Madueke. And I'm really, really excited to see now some meaningful minutes with them, because we're going to need them. Especially with the injuries we're suffering early season. If Havertz was fit, I don't think the plan necessarily was for Gyökeres to play essentially every minute. He has. He's played that more out of necessity than anything else. Havertz is a blow. I mean, again, another topic that's been covered numerous times. There's no other way to dress it up. He's a massive blow. He's integral to what Arsenal do and what Arsenal do well. And in a match like that against Anfield, he would have started, and it would have been a wonderful option to have Gyökeres on the bench to come on around the 70, 75-minute mark and make an impact. However, right now, Gyökeres is not that type of player, as we all know. And I don't believe it was part of the plan for Arsenal to have to learn in-game how to adapt to him and suit his strengths. That was probably more of an integration thing that's going to happen over time on the training ground and more and more players coming in and training together and working on their tactics and those relationships. When you're doing it live in real time on the pitch, especially with such significant change up front, it can cost you, and it can cost us in points. And I guess that's what came to the fore at Anfield. We did not utilize Gyökeres to his strengths. We knew that. We knew stylistically he represents a different option to how Arsenal usually play and how we played in the past with other centre forwards. So the onus is on us now to get the best out of him and to provide him a level of service. The first time balls, he's there. So let's utilize him. Let's use it. Way too early to draw conclusions on him, like going back to what I said earlier, or that sort of clickbait style punditry. It's way, way too early. It's 3 matches in, and let's actually have more of a meaningful sample size. Let's actually serve him. Let's give him the quality of service that he needs. And if he's continually fluffing it, if he's not able to get past his defender, if he's skying shots into Rosette, then it's a different story. You're more qualified to talk about it and talk about it with actual meaningful evidence. Right now, it's all a bit of what ifs. He's there on the pitch. He's making the runs. He's covering distance. He's drawing opponents away. He's creating the channels that he wants to operate within. So use him. And unfortunately, right now, we're not, for a combination of reasons. Well, mostly because our most creative player on the pitch, Odegaard, unfortunately, was injured early in that match against Leeds. It's until we actually have some more meaningful, proper context, I'm just going to hold off on going in too conclusive on what I'm seeing. So I think collectively, this is like a 9.75, 9.8 out of 10 in terms of purchases. Just outstanding business by the club. We are so well poised. Credit to the ownership, because we spent collectively, if I tally that up right, it's about, again, depending on the graphs that you believe and the figures reported, but that's over £250 million spent in one window. This is not something associated with Arsenal. Too often, like I said before, we would just leave ourselves a little bit short. I was fully expecting, at minimum, a centre forward, a defender, a midfielder, and a goalkeeper. So, and maybe the second midfielder as well, because we had 2 departures in that region. So that's like 5 signings. And then at best, maybe the little cherry on top, the icing on the cake, would be that wide forward. That would have been a lovely little bonus. But on top of that, we ended up with 8. We not only did that, we not only signed the winger in Madueke, but then we went and got Eze as well. So we've added 3 attackers in different styles, in different profiles. We've added 2 midfielders, 2 defenders, and of course the goalkeeper, who I've already covered. It's just comprehensively one of the most successful transfer windows in terms of acquisitions, in terms of the caliber of players, in terms of ambition, intent, and support from ownership down. Full credit to Arsenal. It's really, really exciting. And this is, it set us up with a beautiful foundation for doing what I hope we do this season, and that's lift major, major trophies and challenge on multiple fronts. So in that respect, well done to Arsenal. I will quickly cover contract renewals. Unlike the transfer window, this is more of a live picture, isn't it? Because there's no predetermined end date to that. You know, contract negotiations, they resolve themselves when they do on their own volition. So it's harder to give this a definitive score because it's a live moving piece. So just based on what we've seen and hearing, actually I'll cover the ones that have been confirmed so far. We've extended Wanneri, which is excellent, because there was some just, you know, potential rumblings about pathway, game time, right? And of course, there are a lot of other clubs that will be willing to pay him big bucks. We know who we're talking about. There are some clubs there that have a budget for youth players that make it very difficult to retain your own academy stars. So well done to Arsenal for locking him in and renewed him for 4 or 5 years, I believe. Lewis Skelly, Gabriel as well, massive. That is massive. World-class centre-half. A lot of other interest elsewhere. Remember last season, I believe it was last season, the Saudi interest, which may have turned his head for a little bit. And I think Arteta sat him down for a couple of matches until that transfer window ended. But he's locked in. He's dialed in. You can see how much the club means to him. His rapport, his relationship with his teammates, the fans, that's just massive. And hopefully in the coming months as well, Saliba and Saka, the noises we're hearing about them are fairly encouraging. and ongoing. You know, these are moving pieces, right? Each and every player has their, I guess, their timeline as well when they're ready to commit. Maybe conceptually inside of them, they're not looking anywhere else. However, the way the market works, if you've got good representatives, good advisors, of course you're going to test the market, okay? Of course you do. This goes for any walk of life. You'd be a bit silly not to just have open your ears up and just see what else is going on, what else is around. And it could also be a nice negotiating tactic too for when they come back to the club and say, hey, you know, this is what the market is telling us that we can command in terms of salary, bonuses, contract length, etc. So I think all parties seem quite calm about it and quite encouraged. So if we can continue to lock in and secure these players just like we have in the recent years, I think our contract renewals, our extensions, I think that has been a very strong point of Arsenal too. It's been some time since we've lost a player who we really wanted to keep. Gone are the days of those sagas of Van Persie. Van Persie, listening to that little boy inside of him and going to United. Fabregas, just all those dramas. It's been a long, long time since we've actually had a player openly just want out at Arsenal and walk. And I think that speaks volumes. The squad are telling you something. They're telling you about they believe in what Arsenal are doing. They believe in Arteta. They believe in the manager, and they want to stay. They want to see this through and lift trophies and lift them here. So that speaks volumes. If I was to give out a score as well, that's another A or A plus or a 9.5 out of 10, because based on what we've been able to lock in so far and the players in the last 18, 24 months that in their own timeline, in their own way, we've been able to secure a number of key contract extensions too. So that's excellent, testament to the club. So 2 out of the 3 areas of this discussion, Arsenal have been exemplary and absolutely outstanding. The one blemish, I think you all know where I'm about to go next, is sales continue to be a challenge. And look, there's no one sole reason for this. It's a collective number of reasons why Arsenal continue to struggle to generate decent, fair market value fees for our players. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons. I'll just, in no particular order, we don't sell at the right time. We just don't. Too many players have slipped through the cracks when they were at peak value. Just off the top of my head in last few seasons, remember Maitland-Niles after that FA Cup run where he was a starting wing-back, and there was market interest in him, and just, you know, that was a good time to sell. £20-25 million, I think Wolves at the time were there. We haven't used the loan system as well as some other clubs do in say loaning out players into the Championship or whatnot, and then recouping good fees like the likes of Chelsea do or Liverpool do. Omari Hutchinson is a prime example of that. I know his head was turned by Chelsea. Again, I referenced that before about the clubs that are willing to pay big bucks for youth players, and there's only so much you can do. Cheeto's another one, of course. There's only so much you can do in terms of matching that. Arsenal have our own boundaries too, so I fully understand that. However, I'm just using Hutchinson as an example because he moved this summer for about £37 million. And look, not every player is going to make it at Arsenal, and not every player has to. However, as financial assets, I know that can sound like a crude term. However, some of these youth players are that they do have asset value, and you can support them in them achieving their dreams, their ambitions of making it at other clubs or in the Premier League or in the Championship, whilst also recouping decent fees that return, that offset our own investments. So Arsenal just haven't done that. You know, Hutchinson's a prime example of that. Could we have got in there a bit earlier and maybe loaned him out to a couple of clubs, or if we sold him earlier with just a nice little sell-on clause down the track? You know, there's some revenue streams that Arsenal do not capitalize on. So I'm just giving a couple of examples here. These aren't all deal breakers in their own right, but when there's 4 or 5 compelling reasons of why you have a reputation of being a poor selling club, that follows you around. There's a reputation that's going to take some time for Arsenal to undo and to change that perception. Probably the bigger issues are, and this I don't want to go in I don't want to go in on any specific players here, but the reality is that the players that we want to keep, I've already touched on, they're class players, they're high caliber players, and we want to keep them, and we are locking them in. Some of the players that we're looking to move on, they're not at the level, how do I say this without sounding a bit nasty, but with all due respect to the likes of Marquinhos, Carl Hein, Lokonga, right, there's not a massive market for them. There are clubs, yes, in other tiers of European football who are looking for players of that talent, who are looking for experienced players, but also they're looking for a great deal. They're looking for Arsenal to do what we've done so many times in the past, when we freeze players out until their value tanks, or we pay them to go. I mean, how many times have we done that, right? During the early Arteta era, where it was, you know, a bit more of a toxic dressing room. So, and I think Edu at the time, he gave an interview, he publicly said it. He said, we've got high earning players who are not wanted that we're finding difficult to shift. So one of the best things to do for us is to pay them to go. It's when you broadcast that across the market, I mean, every agent, every club is just, okay, cool. Thank you for telling us that. We'll just wait and see what you do. We'll let you pay them off first, and we'll scoop them up on a freeze. So it's just it's one of those things where this stuff takes time. I think in terms of, again, on reported numbers, we ended up selling Tavares. I believe that was a obligation. I believe we sold him in Serie A. I think it was £7 million. Marquinhos, we sold back to South America for £3 million. But then we weren't able to sell Carl Hein. I think, again, he's not going to be a $50 million sale. £50 million sale. However, you'd think at minimum, he's an international, he's had a lot of experience on loans elsewhere. You'd think we'd be able to get maybe £2 or 3 million for someone of his caliber, and we couldn't. Lokonga, at the time of recording this, I don't have a figure. I'm sorry. I believe someone online referenced £10 million, and I would very much question that. That doesn't seem, on face value, anyway, that doesn't seem right to me. If we did, well, of course, fantastic. However, to the best of my knowledge at the time of recording, I don't know a stated figure for him. Vieira, we couldn't sell either. I believe there's a loan with an option of around the €20 million mark. I don't think they're going to be taking that up just quietly. Nelson, just as recently as a few days ago, and I mentioned this in my last recording, Nelson was touted around £15 million to be sold. In the Premier League to Palace, I believe it was, and we ended up loaning him to Brentford. So, and of course, and then late in the picture, Zinchenko has been loaned. Now, even though there's a loan fee there, I think the best part for that for Arsenal is the saving of wages, because some of these players are very high earning too. And Zinchenko, depending on who you believe, is in that sort of 150 to 180 per week bracket. So that's quite a sizable save of wages for Arsenal this year. So in that respect, That's a win for Arsenal, and hopefully a win for Zinchenko as well, because he'll be looking for that big contract next year when his contract at Arsenal is up. And best of luck to him on loan. Kiwior, had we sold within the Premier League, he's at his peak value. He's an excellent defender, as he proved in the back half of last season. Had we sold, we probably would have got a lot more than this figure that's been reported, around the £23-24 million. Pound mark, all inclusive, in his loan to Porto. That's probably quite light on. Would Liverpool have got more? Yes, as they've proven with Chelsea. Yes, that there are just clubs with better track records than Arsenal at the moment. And it's just one of those things where this is not going to be an immediate fix. It goes way beyond Berta. There's only so much one individual can do. However, he's been in the club a few months now. And over time, I'd like to think that this is something that Arsenal can just change our perception and start to then really sort of cash in and just make more savvy business decisions earlier. Engage as well with Arteta. If we know that there are players that are not in line for the first team or not part of his plans, that's okay. However, let's start to have those conversations and just utilize our resources a bit better. And it just it'll come back. It'll come back to the club in different ways. So, in that respect, if I was to give this our sales a mark out of 10, well, in terms of financial values booked, I think that's only around 10, 12, 13 million if you include some loan fees in there. Offset to 250 million spending, I think the figures speak for themselves, right? It's probably a two or maybe 2.5 out of 10 in terms of sales. However, if you look at it, if you add in another dimension to that, that we had some, we had a very bloated squad because we've added 8 players this summer, and there's only so many you can register at one time, and we don't want to be in that situation like we were a few seasons ago, where players are squeezed out and that those toxic cliques in the dressing room occur, and players training by themselves. We don't need any of that. So, in that respect, to be able to loan out at least Lokonga, Vieira, Nelson, Zinchenko, and Kiwior as well, you know, to find them first team football elsewhere, keep them happy, trim our squad, trim the wage bill. If you factor that into that's successful. That's a win. Did it happen the way we wanted to with sizable transfer fees? Well, clearly no. However, have we been able to find them new homes and trim our squad and cut down our costs? In that respect, it does. So maybe that boosts the overall score up to maybe a 4 out of 10, I guess, largely speaking. So that's how we're currently poised. Thank you so much for listening this far. I didn't intend on talking this long. But if you have any comments, I'd love to hear your ratings. Can you please tell me, please comment below or send it through to me what your scores would be? How do you feel Arsenal are poised? And just look, thank you again for listening. If you like this sort of content, if you like seeing my face on YouTube as well, please let me know. I can do more of this. If you don't, you can let me know that as well. That would be most welcome. But if you listen on audio, thank you so much as well. If you please be kind enough to consider reviewing me, it helps boost engagement and visibility of the channel, and that will be most welcome. And please just let me know any comments, any questions you want me to cover, any topics for a future chat, because it's an international break, and now's the time to get stuck into some other stuff as well. So thank you as always. Look after yourselves, please. I very much do mean that. Check in with your loved ones, and I'll talk to you again soon. Until then, come on, Arsenal.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.